can be done only between January 1st and February 1st.
That's the time when revenue department can withhold revenue sharing funds. Is this correct?
Madam Chair, that's the
Jim, period. Will you identify yourself again, please?
Jim Kenney, Department of Revenue. That's the time period that we can present to the county that they are out of compliance. The problem that that's created for us in the past is if we found a county that is going out of compliance sometime in the spring or summer, we have to wait until the following January in order to give them notice that they are out of compliance and then proceed to take action under the compliance provisions. That has created a problem for us because we have not been able to address counties in a timely manner. As we found them going out of compliance, we haven't been able to address the problem and get it corrected. And sometimes we have to wait almost a full year before we can take the action.
And this bill opens it up to all year round and to all non-dedicated funds.
Madam Chair, that's correct. Under the current law, the only funds that was available to the Department of Revenue was the cigarette and liquor revenues that were shared with the counties. If you may recall, a year ago, 2 years ago, we did a compliance study in Lane County and found that they were out of compliance, and the money that was available through the cigarette and liquor revenues was only about $1 million, and it was estimated that we'd need about $2.5 million in order to take over the function of Lane County and bring them into compliance. At that time, we did appear before the emergency board
yes,
for funds and was unable to get them, and therefore we were not able to take action in Lane County.
Mm-hmm. You didn't want to take $1 million and do half of the work for them.
Madam Chair, it would not have provided enough revenue to go in and take over the function in the manner that we would have needed to do it in order to accomplish the ends.
Mm-hmm. So if you include the non-dedicated funds, then you would have enough money if necessary.
Madam Chair, we believe that this will provide us with sufficient funds to be able to take over a county if it reaches that point. Mm-hmm.
What are the non-dedicated accounts?
The staff presented this to the Revenue Committee, and Gil does have the list here of the shared funds. That
Madam Chair, I have a list of the document distributed to the Revenue Committee. However, this simply shows the state funds shared with county governments. It will include Highway Fund, which is constitutionally dedicated and wouldn't be subject to this bill, but this would be for illustration purposes. It indicates an amount provided in the governor's budget for this coming biennium, but just as a matter of illustration, I can give this to the mm-hmm. committee.
You did say it does not include highway funds.
This, Madam Chair, this list will include highway funds, but the highway funds would not be subject to the procedure because they're constitutionally dedicated for highway purposes.
Do you want to mention a couple of other ones? The rest are all subject to seizure or to penalties.
Madam Chair, the bill provides in section 18, page 8, that line 16 on page 8.
This is B. Engross.
Yes, B. Engross bill.
Will you tell us the page number?
Yes,
again?
Page 8, line 16.
Line 16.
It says reimbursement shall be from an equal proportion of all state share funds required or permitted to be distributed to the county that are not otherwise dedicated as provided by law. That's language from Legislative Council.
Representative Hammond.
The table that you just passed out would be the amount of shared revenues for the biennium 89-91. That's what it says at the footnote. If legislation currently anticipated to be passed does pass, read that correctly?
Madam Chair, Representative Hanneman, the amounts here are illustrative of the state kinds of state shared revenues with county governments. Frankly, the two revenue committees did not discuss in any detail as to which particular amounts would be subject to seizure under the bill. It's assumed that those items, of course, such as liquor and cigarette and certain other funds, such as mental health funds, would be subject to it. But
aside from that question of what might be withheld and what might not, is that a total list, just as a general question, of is that a complete and total list of shared revenues with local governments?
Madam Chair, Representative Hanneman, according to the Legislative Revenue Office, I believe that this is their version of the shared amounts.
Okay.
So, Madam Chair, it's my understanding.
It's
my understanding that once again, using Lane as an illustration, whatever dollar amount, cumulative dollar amount that Lane receives right now, a portion of that full dollar amount could be retained.
Madam Chair, Senator Hamby, the more than simply a portion, whatever it takes to cure the deficiencies will be available.
Okay. That's a hammer.
Indeed.
I'm surprised counties agreed to this bill.
Madam Chair, that's a good question. I think the problem is severe enough and acknowledged as severe enough, and we know that the department will take into account the general financial situation of the county before dropping the bomb, and counties are in this instance willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There are other provisions in the bill which help correct the situation, other phases of it. First of all, a county with Department of Revenue approval may retain industrial appraisals if it wishes, and those would be part of the assessment and taxation budget that would receive sharing under the fund. In addition, there are
You're talking about industrial appraisal, isn't it?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. There are continuing education requirements imposed on appraisers and assessors. Managers in the assessor's office also face management training requirements. The county governing body, in addition, can request a study of the assessor's operation, and the department will do that on request and recommend improvements, which could include de facto removal of the assessor. A sunset clause is in the bill for December 31st, 1997, to assure that the 1997 legislature will review this, and I suspect this program will be reviewed by each of the succeeding legislatures from this point forward.
Madam Chair, is there an ultimate goal, a year that everyone is in compliance, or is there an effort to identifying a year that...
Madam Chair, Senator Hamby, I believe that we're talking now about seven years to have everybody back into compliance.
Okay.
This program is seen as a continuing one. The sunset clause is there to force review. Yes.
Okay.
There are two other provisions of which you should be aware. The first is under the bill, a four-year freeze on any new or increased real estate transfer fees or taxes. there are exceptions, and they include the fee which directly covers the cost of processing the transfer, the actual work it takes to process the documents. The corner restoration funds that I referred to earlier are also accepted. Washington County, There is one county which has real estate transfer tax that's grandfathered in. And there are a number of items for the cities agreed to, which would include the systems development charges. They're exempt. But as an overall matter, the idea of this provision, Section 29, is to prevent a local government, from instituting a real estate transfer tax for general government purposes to use as general funds. The other provision, which you should be aware, is a provision which would cause subdivision lots to be valued in a manner that recognizes the time period over which lots are sold. It's referred to as a discounted valuation. It's accepted in the trade. It will overturn a fairly recent Oregon tax court decision. But it's not a provision that's opposed by anyone who's interested in the bill.
Mm-hmm. But Gil, how do you anticipate the period over which the lots are sold? It could be sold sooner, it could be sold later, and therefore it's hard for you to determine the discounted value.
Madam Chair, I'd rather Jim Kenney describe this. It's a technical matter for appraisers. So maybe Jim would be able to answer your question more efficiently.
Jim.
Madam Chair, Jim Kenney. In making an estimate of the time period that it would take to sell out the lots, the appraisers would be looking at the market trends in the area every year to determine whether the properties are selling, you know, at what rate the properties are selling. This is not unusual. It's something that the appraiser should be doing for all types of property, looking at all of the economic indicators for the property type. This was done prior to the tax court case. The counties were instructed to keep track of the turnover of these properties. So it would be an annual study that would be made of the properties to determine the rate of turnover for each of the subdivisions in a county. Mm-hmm.
I suppose the purpose is for the appraisers to be able to appraise the value of these undeveloped lots more accurately.
That's correct, and to take into account the what's called the cost to hold for this type of property.
The cost to hold them.
Mm-hmm. Does Representative Baumann wish to testify?
Representative Baumann, would it be all right if staff called you as soon as that bill comes up?
That would be great.
Does it inconvenience you if that bill is not scheduled for hearing today but would be put over till tomorrow?
I'll be here tomorrow.
What is the bill number? It's not on the schedule, is it?
It is 2338.
Oh, it is? 2338.
I'm sorry. It's not. It's posted on the board, and apparently it wasn't drawn after that particular schedule was put together. Or this may be an earlier. I think this is an earlier agenda.
Oh.
But we'll get that updated for you. Madam Chairman, Mr. Munn is here. If I could just indicate on the record that Mr. Riddell has very carefully gone through this document with the AOC letterhead, and it may supersede some of the testimony Mr. Munn had.
Before you start, Mr. Munn, Jim Kenney is going to give the committee an answer on the question that was raised earlier. What is the average account? What is the percentage of what is the average percentage of accounts that are delinquent?
Madam Chair, I wasn't able to find that exactly, but based on the number of accounts that Multnomah County has, I would estimate somewhere approximately 300,000 accounts out of the total of 1.6 million accounts statewide. And as I mentioned, this equates to about $170 million in delinquent taxes in the first fiscal year, in the last fiscal year.
Not quite 20%.
That's correct.
Well, that's pretty high.
Madam Chair, as Gil Riddell mentioned, there are a number of people who we believe are not paying their taxes as a matter of course in their financing. We've made a brief study of some of the counties, and we found that about between 45% and 50% of the properties that have delinquent taxes are not owner-occupied. They're owned either as rental properties, as vacant land, or as commercial properties. And it's indicated that some of these peoples are undoubtedly not paying their taxes just as a money management type of process.
We are interested in getting an average percentage of accounts that are delinquent. Is this a figure you can provide this committee
we'll later? Go back and look at it, yeah, and see if we can't bring it back to you tomorrow, if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we would appreciate getting that information. Mr. Munn?
I'm sorry, I have to be up in the governor's office for a minute on tax credits and school finance. And I don't know exactly what Gil covered. I presume he covered his testimony. Let me quickly run through what I thought I was going to cover before. Gil, we've passed out a packet to you, a little red booklet. In it gives you a brief description of the budget, adds a description of the bill itself, and adds in the very back a series of really newspaper articles, editorials, really wanting this problem addressed. But let me drop back a minute and give you sort of a historical perspective on the issue. You really go back on this problem to at least about 1980. As Oregon dropped into the recession, as timber revenues dropped off in the counties, you had then counties cutting their functions and really cutting them across the board. They were not picking out necessarily assessment and appraisal as a function to cut. They were trying to cut to stay within their own revenues, and they were cutting across the board. Lane County was the first county to go into this kind of a problem. Then as you really proceed through the 80s, and each year almost additional counties drop into, in effect, a problem of being out of compliance with the tax laws. In the last two legislative sessions, you in the Senate have tried to address this problem and tried to stop it from eroding to the extent that it has in past measures. The House has not.
What actions did the Senate take regarding this problem?
Last session, you took action by passing actually a cigarette tax increase and using that money dedicated to this program in the counties. And the House did not pass that. It died on the House floor the last day of the session by, I think, two votes. You now, well, let me, up until last session, you had about, 18, maybe something in that area, counties that were out of compliance. Now you have some 26 counties that are out of compliance. Coming out of last session and with the defeat of the measure on the House floor, we then went ahead and did compliance studies on three counties, Lane County, Linn County, and Clackamas counties, and followed the statutory provisions of the compliance study. Showed the degree they were out of compliance, the inequity that caused in property appraisal around the state and in distributing then the levy within that county and between counties. And also pointed out then within those counties the problem that was causing in school finance itself in your distribution of monies to school districts through equalization and how that was distorting in effect the receiving districts in equalization dollars. We carried through those studies. We actually matured Lane County's study to actually coming to the E-Board during the interim. The interim, the emergency board indicated in it that they would like this problem dealt with in this legislative session. We then put together a coalition made up of the Association of Oregon Counties, the Assessors Association, the Tax Collectors Association, Oregon School Boards Association, Oregon School Administrators, OEA, the League of Oregon Cities, AOI, I think there might be one or two others, pardon? And the Realtors and the Home Builders. The results of that coalition really are the bill you have before you. It has passed the House, has come out of Senate Revenue to you unanimously, and if we're successful, it will hopefully within the next 6 years turn around the system, because it still will take a long time to bring back all the counties and get that staff functioning effectively out there. Now, I would say there are different interests in the coalition. Some of the interest in the coalition, the counties want to do a good job on being able to appraise property fairly, because they realize the importance of that within our largest tax in Oregon, the property tax. Other parts of the coalition, cities and schools, primarily are interested, I would say, in being sure the property tax system is running fairly, because they're users of that system in funding their programs, but also they're interested in not having this problem reoccur. And so they were interested in trying to be sure through the hammer process in it, or through the compliance process, that this doesn't occur. The counties also were interested in trying to shift more of the, I think, more technical problem, the industrial problem, to the state level to fund, or the state level to appraise. And really the combination of all those interest groups are really what's put the package together. And I think you ought to just be aware of that interrelationship that exists there. In it, I hope Bill's already talked about the funding method and the monies that are there. Really, the actual budget, if you go to our document under budget, the red tab, you'll see on page 5 really a calendar out laid out showing you the compliance side of it. There are really two sides to the budget for the department. One is carrying on the industrial appraisal from $5 million down to $1 million for all the counties. The other is the compliance part of it, doing all the training, doing all the performance evaluation in the counties to assure that the system is going to be maintained in the future. So you can see the beginning of it as it's laid out, rules, forms, revenue forecasts, staffing studies, all the process that must go on in this first fiscal year in preparing for a budget for July of 1990 for the counties. Building up the revenues, getting all the rules in place, getting the forms, getting the counties ready to start receiving now some of the money out of the program, and then you're turning to training in that year. You're turning to starting the evaluation process in the counties. And then you're turning back to, again, the process of the next year's cycle on revenues with the counties. If you go to the next page, you'll see the actual calendar listed of the schedule of when different people would need to come aboard to carry on the function, to get the rules up, to get the all the budget process going in the counties, and then distribution of the money, and then into the compliance studies. If you want to move to page 7, it's down here. There's a page 7. There are two numbers on the page. There's a 3 and a 7.
Richard, when you said computer application on page 6, is that new computers or is this existing computers?
Well, Jim, maybe they're not anticipating a big new computer program here. It's really the computer application of the appraisal system, I believe.
That's,
So it's existing computers?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is a computer appraisal system, and maybe Jim wants to talk about that briefly, and that it's really very important that as this program comes up and as you infuse more money into the counties to get this program functioning again, that we can push on it as hard as we can to automate it as effectively as we can as well. In many counties, it's well automated, but in some, it's not. Mm-hmm. Computer-assisted appraisal is something you passed here in 1985, I believe?
83
session, to really try to assist that the process and automate it more and make it maybe more cost-effective.
Madam Chair, Jim Kinney again. The computer application is actually developing the program, the software, to be used in the industrial appraisal area on this particular page, and getting that computer appraisal program put in place to speed up the production on the appraisals.
Okay, page 7 shows you a breakdown between industrial and the compliance and administration part of the program, and shows you again the schedule for hiring of the different classifications to bring that program up. In the last session, when you created the 5CAP4 program, or the four industrial categories over $5 million, you, in effect, gave the department 255 accounts, in the largest industrial accounts to deal with. This will take that and broaden that to all accounts over $5 million, which is still would be still general fund responsibility. That would, just adding the non-5CAP4s over $5 million, add 68 accounts to the agency. The going from 4 or $5 million down to $1 million adds around 607 accounts for the agency to administer and appraise.
Richard, how do counties handle the $1 to $5 million industrial accounts now?
Some of them are having great difficulty handling it. A variety of them haven't, in effect, done anything with them. Some of those might have been accounts that we administered, or they were in contract agreement with us before to appraise, before we switched to do the 5CAP4s, before, in effect, you changed the policy by your action last session of saying, no, we want you to do the most complex, the most expensive property. Counties have tried in the past even to try to hire industrial appraisers themselves to do some of it, and the larger counties can do that, have been able to do that in the past. But as they've become under budget pressure, they've tended to abandon that part of their function to stay with the mass appraisal part of their function. Some counties have tried to maybe get together with other counties in the area and try to hire an industrial appraiser to do three or four counties and mm-hmm. then sharing the cost. Mm-hmm. That fell apart in the southwest corner of Oregon when they really weren't able to keep the counties together on the function. They started it and abandoned it rather quickly. I do think that what you see happening over the recessionary period up to now is more typically what happens in this system, that you do see the more complex, more expensive part of the appraisal function maybe abandoned as you go into restriction on revenues, trying to hang on to the core part of the program still doing as much mass appraisal as you can. And so, even in Lane County, most of the mass appraisal was abandoned or was stopped.
So they could contract with you to do the below $5 million industrial appraisals. But I understand even if they're willing to pay, they couldn't get you to go out and contract with them.
Well, all our appraisers, from what you did last session, all our appraisal work was taken up by the 5 cap 4, and then doing anything that was complex over $5 million.
So you can't help them with the below $5 million, even when they're willing to pay for